take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4, we'll read verses 12 through 16 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And let's finish on verse 16 together. Ready? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Thank you for a place called church. Lord, thank you for the man of God that you've given us for our church, our preacher. Lord, 6 years, we've seen so many things happen in 6 years. Yet on these 30 acres for the last 40 plus years, your hand and your presence seems to have hovered here. Father, we still need your presence. Fill our preach with your power today. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and change our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Oh, and such a fitting song for the sermon that I'll preach to you today. I'm going to give you something this morning that to me is very comforting personally. The truth that I'll share with you, I hope, I come with mixed emotion about the truth today. I thrill at the truth, but then I am intimidated by the fear that I'm not going to portray it to you well. I want so desperately for you to understand what I'm about to say. I know that all of us come to church because we came to get something, and I think you will get something today. But I must also tell you that sometimes we come to church to hear what a Savior. Sometimes you just need to be reminded of how great your God is and how good your God is. Really, it's not all about me and you, it's all about Him. That's really what it's all about. We have this tendency to be a bit stingy in our desires, but I hope today you can find a desire to see something marvelous about your God. Oh, tucked within it, there is a lot of practicality, but I really, really want you to listen. Now, I'll ask, if you're here and you're a guest, we always turn our cell phones off. That way we don't interrupt the teaching and the preaching. If you must slip out, let's make it an emergency. And please give me your attention. I cannot foresee my doing well today if I must struggle with you for attention. I promise you, if you'll listen, you're going to learn something today, and I think you're going to find it comforting, and you're going to see another reason why we have what? A Savior, exalting Him because of who and what He is. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I call the sermon today, He Was Touched. He was touched. In order for Jesus to be the Savior, He had to be not only divine and virgin-born, but He also must become a true man. We call Him the God-man. He was every bit God, but He was every bit man. And you say, Brother Owens, explain that. I can't. That shows you the magnitude of our God. You can find somebody that can explain everything to the in the Bible to you. I'm going to guess somebody's probably lying to you, or the Bible's not as great a book as what it truly is. You see, I can't explain to you exactly how he was the God-man, but the book that he wrote said that he was, and I believe the book. And my God's bigger than my mental capacity, and I've got a feeling that my God's bigger than your mental capacity. So I guess if he said it, we ought to believe it. He was the God-man. You see, he was like us in every respect except for the fact that he was not sinful. And that's what this verse says here in Hebrews. For we have not an high priest, it's referring to Jesus, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we, yet without sin. So he was like me and he was like you, and he had to become like us to be our Savior, but in every aspect like us, and yet he did not sin. In that one area, he was not like us. Jesus had to be made like unto us in order to be our faithful high priest. He had to be like us. Jesus was born under the law that he might help redeem us from the law. Jesus was given human names. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, Jesus is distinctly called a man. The phrase, the Son of Man, which emphasizes his humanity, occurs 77 times in the Bible. So here we have God, but man, God, born in the flesh, the God-man. And all that was necessary for some reason for Jesus to be to us what we needed him to be. For Jesus to be human then, he had to have human parent, which he did in the person of his mother, Mary. Luke chapter 2, verse number 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Of course, God was the father. Joseph was not the father of Jesus. But for Jesus to be man, he had to be born into a body of a woman and come forth flesh and blood just like you and I. Jesus had a human body. John 1 verse 14 says, and the Word, that's Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? We have God who has come in the flesh, and he is God, but he is man, and God is showing us that he was born of a woman. God is showing us that he had a human body. God is showing us that he had a human name, Jesus. God 77 times called him the Son of Man, and he is the mediator between God and man. Jesus was subject to the same laws of human development that we are. For instance, the Bible says, as a man, he grew. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. So there we see Jesus, the man, growing. Then we find out he has another quality or another development as a human. He asks questions. Listen to Luke chapter 2, verse 46. It says, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, we see Jesus, the God-man, this man, he grew. This man, he asked questions. Sometimes, folks, I think we almost want to say, well, Jesus was God, therefore, he doesn't really understand me. Jesus was God, he therefore doesn't really understand us lowly, pitiful humans. But wait a minute, Jesus was man. I'm trying to tell you today, he does understand. You see, the Bible teaches that he was touched. How was he touched? He was touched as a man. Let's go on. Let's see how God allowed Jesus, the one that was born of a woman, the one that is called the Son of Man 77 times in the Bible. Let's go on. How else was he man? He increased in the wisdom, the Bible says. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So we see Jesus grew. We see that He asked questions. We see that He is increasing in wisdom. Then we find out that He went through a process of learning obedience. But let me say, He was the sinless man. When he would learn something, He obeyed it perfectly. He obeyed His Father's wishes perfectly. But the Bible says He learned. Hebrews 5:8 says, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. So you say, I thought God knew everything. Somehow in the process of God becoming man, God wanted His Son, Jesus Christ, to understand you. He wanted Jesus to understand how we grow and how we have questions and how we must increase in wisdom and how we must increase and learn obedience. The Bible says that as a human being, as a man, through Jesus Christ, God suffered. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Here, we know that Jesus suffered. Who was it? He was the God-man. Jesus suffered. Jesus learned obedience. Jesus increased in wisdom. Jesus asked questions. Jesus grew. Jesus had a human body. Jesus had a human name. Jesus and the Bible says He had to be the God-man so that He could be to us what we were going to need Him to be. I believe, according to Mark 6, chapter 3, that He grew up and He worked in the carpenter's shop. Joseph, Mary's husband, the home in which Jesus Christ was reared, Joseph was a carpenter. And the Bible says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James? And it talks about here, Jesus had built a bit of a reputation in growing up that He was a carpenter reared in a carpenter's home. So here, Jesus had a trade. So you say, Jesus doesn't understand me when I've got to get up in the morning and go to work all day long. No, Jesus was a carpenter. He understands getting up in the morning and going to work. He understands needing to grow. He understands asking questions and having them. He understands obedience. He understands suffering. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, if we were to take the time, we could read verse 1 through 11, where the Bible teaches us that Jesus was tempted. Satan came and tempted Jesus. You say, why? Because I believe that God wanted you and God wanted me to have a Savior, to have our mediator between us and God, who is the man Christ Jesus. God wanted us to have a mediator that knew what it was like to be tempted, that knew what it was like to go to work, that knew what it was like to suffer, that knew what it was like to learn obedience, that knew what it was like to grow in wisdom, that knew what it was like to have questions, that knew what it was like to grow, that knew what it was like to have a human body that would ache, that knew exactly what it was like to have a human name. You see, that was all part of God's plan. That was all part of God's plan. You see, all of this is important. I'm going to tell you why now. God had Jesus to become flesh for you and for me, because when God says He cares and He understands, He wanted to not just understand as God, He also wanted to be able to say, I understand as a human. See, if I thought through this, I think I would have a hard time believing that a non-human could understand a human exactly right. In God's big plan, I think God knew that you and I, we could sit down here and say, all right, God, you're up there, you're in heaven, got it all, know it all protection, You got everything. And then you care about us. Sure. Sure, right. Then you live in the palace called heaven. You want for nothing. How in the world can you understand us? Oh, but our God is so wise. Our God is so wise. When God says to you, I care about you, and when God says to you, I understand you, and you can look back and say, you don't really understand it all, God. And God says, yes, I do. I've been there. Through the birth of Jesus Christ, who was the man, God, God, man. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
That's exactly what God did. Now, what I'm telling you today is something that comforts me. You see, God's so big, and God the Father's so powerful, and God the Father, He's kind of got it all, and that makes me feel a bit distant from Him. I don't know about you. But then enters Jesus Christ, who lived on the same earth that I did, who went through some of the same kind of things that I have. And then when Jesus says, Jeff, I get it, I understand, I've got a connection there, you see. I've got this connection. And God knew that I would need that connection. God knew that He needed to come down here and He needed to live on this earth through the person of Jesus Christ. Why? So you and I would have somebody that had been in a body, and somebody that had suffered pain, and somebody that had questions so we could associate. See, I'd have a hard time. And I know God can do anything. Just me as a frail human being, it would be a little hard for me to fathom that great big God understanding what little old me's going through when He is way up there and I'm way down here. But one day a long time ago in God's plan, He said, I'm not staying way up there. I'm coming down there. So when you tell me that you hurt, when you tell me that you've got a need, when you tell me you're confused, I was there. I was a human being. I know what it's like to be a human. Isn't that awesome? I know it's so simple, it's virtually profound. And boy, I was looking at this and I was thinking, I'm so glad I've got this mighty and powerful God that can rule the unseen universe and the seen. And then I've got a God that can say, Jeff, I've been down there. Been there, done that, and I understand. Let me read a verse to you, and I'll tell you from which verse this truth has surfaced for me. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, it's talking about Jesus, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Listen to this, for we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. God right there saying, you can't say to me, I don't get it because I'm God and you're human. Because He's saying, your high priest, my son, which was me come in the flesh, I've been down there and I am touched by your humanity and what you feel as a human. I did a little word study on the word touched. No, I don't go into it with you a lot. I like a dictionary. The Greek language can express something to us here. That word touched, it actually means someone being bored through, like a drill, bored through until you penetrate the outer armor and get into where it hurts. In Bible days, maybe they wouldn't have used a drill to drill a hole. They would punch a hole through something. They'd sharpen something and then they would punch a hole through it. I'll show you what I mean. I have a piece of steel here, and I have a hammer. I have something I'm going to use to punch a hole It's a Phillips screwdriver. Shouldn't be used this way, but it's going to today. In Bible days, if they may not have used a drill, they would have punched. That's what they would have called boring through something. You'll find a place where slaves sometimes, they would bore a hole through the earlobe, and that's how they marked a slave. They bore through his ear. How did they do it? They punched through it. And so, I have this piece of metal here, and I'm going to punch a hole through it. I have now bore through that piece of metal. This piece of sheet metal. Now let me explain something to you. When the Bible here talks about Jesus Christ being touched by the feeling of our infirmities, what it's saying is God, through the person of Jesus Christ, allowed a hole to be bored through the armor of God to where God, through Jesus, could feel the pain that man would feel, because God wanted to be able to feel what man feels. Touch means, God said, when I put my son down there, I've allowed the human race to have a God who can be, that God has had himself hurt so that he could understand the hurt of the human race. He said, I thank God, and I think what God is trying to say to us here is we look at God and we think, God, you've got this armor about you. You've got an armor, and let's face it, the devil can't whip you, nobody can whip you. I mean, you got it all, you're God. You know, we sing the song, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. And God said, I realize you think I've got this armor, but just so you know, when I sent Jesus down there, I allowed my son to make it so that we as God could feel your pain. It's like when Jesus came down, we got to see God's Son, the armor penetrated, and as a human being, Jesus suffered and went through some of the same kind of things you and I do. And again, you say, why? So that one day you would not say, God's got all that armor on him, and God can't understand me, and God doesn't really realize, God, he's this big pie in the sky God, and our God can't really, really feel what we feel. Oh, yes. Our God felt what we feel, because one day he said, I'm going to pull back the armor in the person of Jesus Christ, and he is going to become a man, and he will go through as a man everything that you've been through. And God, through Jesus Christ, allowed life to penetrate God's armor so that when you need God, you can say, God, I think you do understand. I think you do understand. The word touched means bored through to the point of pain. Jesus was bored through to the point of pain. You say, why? Listen to the verse. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. God wanted me, God wanted you, to have a God that when we turn to him, we really believe he understood. We really believe that he could care and love us and have compassion on us. Now, all the time, he was God. But wait a minute, he was man. And God allowed Jesus Christ to be touched for your sake and my sake. Let me say some things about that very thought, if I could. Whatever it is that you must face, I have good news for you. Jesus is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. What is it?
What is it that you face? What is it that is the challenge in your life? What is it the pain that you must bear? Whatever it is, you may look at the God the Father, and maybe in your humanity, maybe you feel like, I don't think the great big God in the sky understands that. God comes back and says, but wait a minute, don't forget, I came down to the earth. I was born in the body of a man. I have been touched by the feeling of your infirmity. I still am in communication with how that felt.
For instance, he hungered.
I'm sorry, I cannot theologically explain away how God could have hungered, but God, through the person of Jesus Christ, hungered. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. Jesus' stomach growled. Have you ever been without food for 40 days? Most of you will have no idea what that means. 40 minutes, maybe. 40 days? 40 days Jesus Christ went without food. And he was hungry. His stomach growled. His taste buds were activated. Folks, you and I, we don't experience this, but do you know there are countries where people died last night from starvation? Do you realize that there was a mother that woke up this morning and she went to startle or awake her baby and found her baby was dead? There's a mother somewhere in the world that is digging a hole to bury your baby right now because that baby starved to death. I don't know how much you've been around a place where there are those that are homeless and they're street people and now some of those folks could get jobs and some of those people could better themselves, and I know that, but I don't know if you've ever seen it. I can remember I was in a distant city and the place where I was preaching, they'd given me a car and I was driving past a dumpster and I seen the lid of the dumpster pop open and someone had climbed in there. I watched them get out. I watched them rip open a bag and I seen them sorting through it and making two piles and they were looking for the food that was not already spoiled. And oh, my heart. There was McDonald's right there. I pulled into McDonald's and ordered a great big meal and I drove around to where that dumpster was and I went over and I said, I want to get you something to eat. And like an animal, I watched them just tear into it and just start eating it. You say, Brother Owens, does God understand that? Yes, because Jesus hungered. I'm glad my God allowed himself to be penetrated, to be bored through. I'm glad God was willing to put the shield down through the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man. I'm glad that he was penetrated to the point of pain so that he would understand hunger. What a God. What a loving God. I think Jesus is touched by that hunger. He understands the human appetite. He understands it. I was thinking about the subject of thirst. The Bible says in John 4:7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Jesus was thirsty. Who was it? It was Jesus. Who is that? The Son of Man. Who is that? It's God's Son. Who is that? It is God who said, one of these days I want people to understand that I understand. He said, when somebody's thirsty, they're going to think of me up here in heaven and I've got it all, I'm all powerful, I'm all knowing, I've got it all together, and they're going to have a hard time as a human race to believe that I really care that deeply. So I sent myself in the person of Jesus Christ and I wanted to feel what it was like to be thirsty. I'm so glad that's my God. I wouldn't want some untouchable God. I wouldn't want some God that didn't care. And in John 19:28, the fifth cry from the cross was Jesus who said, I thirst! I thirst! And your great, big, powerful, all-knowing God can look down. And when you're hungry or when someone is starving, he can say, well, I understand. I understand that. And our God, when someone is dry and thirsty, our God can look down and say, through the experience of my Son born in the flesh, I understand what it means to be parched and have no water and the lips to be dry and chafing because there was nothing to drink. There are people in this world that have no clean water. There are people who will die today from dehydration. Jesus is touched by the feeling of that thirst. You see, that's because we have a God that through Jesus Christ allowed the shield of the protection of God to be penetrated through Jesus Christ for you and for me. Why? Because God wanted to understand when we were hungry, and God wanted to understand when we were thirsty. He understands. Hey, maybe God was trying to make us to realize He understands when we don't have what we need, our basic needs. I mean, water is a basic need. You say, but our God, He has it all. He's rich. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the universe. He's got it all. God doesn't get hungry. Jesus did. God doesn't get thirsty. He doesn't care about me. He does not really realize. Yes, He does. You say, God is too distant to care. Jesus is in your heart. Jesus is our high priest. He has been touched. He has been bored through. He has been penetrated. And He made a way for God to understand and for God to feel as if when He said He cared, you would have to say, yeah, I guess so.
Yes, sir.
I guess so. Thirdly, the Bible says that Jesus became weary. Who is this? It's the God-man. John chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. Here's Jesus, He's weary. And you say, well, oh my God, I mean, God the Father, God the Heavenly Father, He's got all power. I mean, He can fling the stars into space. He can create the world. He created the animals. He's always has been. He always will be. You're talking about an all-powerful God. What does God understand about me, a lowly, puny, little human being weary? He said, got you covered. I came in the flesh so that when you question my ability to understand my Son, the shield was penetrated through my Son, and I understand you're weary. Mother, that mother that you struggle in the rearing of your children, you say, does that great big God up there know what I'm going through? I'm weary. Jesus said, I was weary. I was weary when I carried my cross. I was weary. The mom that works hard and just seems like there's not enough money to carry you through, and you say, I'm weary. Jesus said, I understand weariness. To the husband that says, I'm weary, Jesus said, I understand weariness. And the father that's trying to rear his kids, you say, I'm weary. Jesus understands. To the boss that's here today, you say, I'm a leader and I have a company, I have a group of men that work with or for me. Said, I'm weary. Jesus understands weariness. To the employee that's weary, to the Christian that is weary, may I remind you, you don't have this great big God that's distant, that's way out there, that doesn't understand. No, He sent His Son. He said, my Son will come down there. He's going to have a human name. He's going to have a human mother. He's going to have a human body. He's going to have a thirst. He's going to have a hunger. He's going to be weary. He is going to do what you do, because when He comes back up here, He's going to be there for you. God said, I want it so bad for you not to think there's this great big distance between us. So I came down in the form of a body so I could be like you about everything but sin, because I want you to know I care. And I want you to know that I understand. Jesus is touched by the feeling of your weariness. Hey, look, I know what our job is. Folks, we don't have much choice. You say, I'm tired. Everybody else is tired too. I'm weary. What are we going to do?
Well, we're going to suck it up and move on. It's all we can do. You say, Brother Owens, does anybody really understand? I know somebody that understands perfectly. Does anybody really care? Yes, Jesus cares. You say, how? He was a human. He was God, man, man, God. And God said, just in case you think I'm so big that I don't really love you and I don't really care, I'm coming down in the form of a body and I'm going to let life punch a hole through the armor, and I'm willing to be hungry and I'm willing to be thirsty and I'm willing to be weary, because when you need me, I'll be there. I'll understand it when nobody else understands, when nobody else can meet your need. Oh, what a God I serve. Oh, what a Savior. I love it. The Bible says he slept. Matthew 8:24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Jesus was asleep. Here we see God come in the flesh. He's still God. He's still God the Father in heaven, but wait, and somehow, in God's miraculous ability, he came in the body of a man, and he wanted to be able to understand sleep. Some of you understand it well, right this second. Jesus understands the subject of sleep. See, as God, look, as God the Father, he would neither slumber nor sleep. He wouldn't do that. And so when you go to work on Monday morning and you're wore out and you didn't get enough sleep, you say, God, I'm so weary. God, I'm so tired. God, I'm so sleepy. I wonder if God wondered if you would think that he'd even care. I wonder if God wondered if you would think that he wouldn't even be able to associate. But here's what he did. God came born in the flesh, so Jesus, the God-man, would be asleep. He would need sleep. Why? So the day comes when you say, God, I'm tired and I need sleep. God would say, I understand. You say, how do you understand? He'd say, remember Jesus? I let you penetrate the armor. I let you penetrate the armor. I wanted to know what it felt like. I wanted to be able to tell you I love you and I understand and I want to meet your needs. He slept. Some of you, you were up all night. You're up all night. You couldn't sleep. Maybe you're caring for a sick parent. You say, Brother Owens, nobody really understands. I think Jesus understands. You say, Brother Owens, we're at the hospital. We're at the hospital all night long and nobody knows. God, and thank God, he didn't go to sleep all night long. He watched you. He was there. He understands that need. Those of you who have health problems and you say, I toss and I turn and I can't get the sleep that I need. And maybe the devil's come to you and said, God doesn't understand. God has all energy. God has all power. God doesn't sleep. So here you are, you lowly being, and you're trying to serve a God that doesn't even understand you. I've got news to you. Satan's a liar. God does understand. He came to us, born in a body, and he said, I want to understand what it means not to be able to sleep. The Bible says he didn't have a pillow. He used stones for his bed. Try it. I didn't say get stone to go to bed. A pillow. A stone. I'm glad that's the way my God is. Those of you that fear has caused you to lose sleep, and because of it, you feel your body falling apart and your attitude and your spirit falling apart, and you wonder if anybody really understands sleep and the sleep that you need in your life. God does. Jesus is touched by the feeling of your infirmity. God bore through the outer armor and said, through my Son, I want him to experience what you have to experience. So that when I say I love you, you'll say I believe that. And when I say I want to meet your needs, you'll say I believe that. And when you say, God, I don't know if anybody understands, he can say, I do understand. I do, through the person of Jesus Christ. I understand man.
He loved.
I'm so glad that he loved.
He came down here and he loved as a human being. Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, speaking of the rich young ruler. In John 11, 36, it says, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him, speaking of Lazarus. Jesus is touched by our desire for love. I think Jesus understood some of the human aspect of love. Love's scary to us. Sometimes we fear love. Let me tell you all something. Something that I want so desperately. I have a whole sermon I'm preparing on this subject, but let me tell you all something. The deeper you love, the fewer people there will be that could exchange that quality of love with you. You have to get used to some of that. You know, the more people you love, the more your chance of being hurt. He said, I want to love a lot of people. Just so you know, you probably won't be loved back by that many. Oh, but Jesus got to experience. Jesus in the body of a human being. Jesus born of a woman. Jesus who hungered. Jesus who thirsted. Jesus who was given a human name. He came and he said, I want to go through the whole human experience. I will not sin as I go through the experience. I'm a representative of God the Father. I am God come in the flesh. And I want my people to know that I care, that I understand. I want to be touched. I want to be touched by the feeling of their infirmities. He loved. Jesus understands love and it's hurt. Jesus experienced the betrayal of Judas. Jesus understood how to love a man and that man named Judas not to love him back. Jesus was touched by the loss of loved ones. Why? He loved. Hey, the Bible teaches he had compassion. Listen to this, Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. In other words, these people fell away, they struggled. In that passage of Scripture, they were either leaderless or they did not follow the leadership that was made available to them. And as they began to fall away, Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under wings, but you would not. Jesus looked out and he seen a group of people that had actually rejected him and actually rejected the things of God, and how that so many times they were close to receiving a wonderful blessing, but they rejected that blessing. But Jesus came and he experienced that as a human being, not just as God. That's why he's the God-man. Jesus had compassion on people. Hey, Jesus learned and spent time as a man having compassion, even when people were forced to sow what they reap. You know that some people are very happy when someone reaps what they have sown. You know something? I think all of us need to learn a little lesson in life. Did you know that if someone is reaping what they have sown, they still have a heart? You know, they still have feelings? You know, they need somebody to love them. There are these people. You can almost tell if you're an evil person when you say, get them, God, get them, tear them to shreds. I didn't even calculate in my thinking as a Christian. It ought to be if God must discipline someone that Christians stand by and say, please, God, help them. Help them. It's not for you and I to wish upon anybody destruction. So I deserve it. You might just need to check up on yourself and see what you deserve.
Yes, sir.
If I remember correctly, the only way to heaven was through someone that was perfect.
Yes.
And you did not qualify and somebody stepped up for you.
Amen.
You don't have anything to do with your salvation other than receiving the free gift.
Amen.
Jesus came as a human being. And as a result of it, he got to experience. He got to see it firsthand, this thing of compassion. See, compassion is a result of thinking on someone else's pain and then caring about that pain and expressing that care. God allowed the pain of life to bore through his protective cover in the person of Jesus Christ so that Jesus could feel the emotion of human compassion and how people need it. You know, I'm glad my God's that kind of a God. He wanted Jesus to understand this thing of compassion and the thing of human, hey, even the relationships of friendship. Which reminds me, if a dog is truly man's best friend, get this,
And if you don't believe that, how many of you believe dog's man's best friend? Will you raise your hand? You married men, you're afraid right now, aren't you? A dog is truly man's best friend. And if you don't believe it, just try this experiment. Put your dog and your wife in the trunk of your car for an hour. When you open the trunk, see which one is happy to see you. When I was reading the passage of Scripture where it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities," I began to realize that God and His great plan made it so He would come in the form of His Son. And God would allow Himself through the form of Jesus Christ in a body to experience what you and I experience. Everything but sin. He was a perfect God-man. And He experienced all that. Why? So He could be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus learned something about trust in the human body. Hebrews 5:7 says, "Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared." Here, we see Jesus placing His trust in God. Here we see God in the form of a man learning how to place his trust back in God. Why? Because you and I have to go through this thing of trusting a God that's way up there, and it's seemingly a God that's far away, and I realize He lives within us, but I see here Jesus Christ looking to that God and saying, "I want to trust You, God." Why? God wanted you and I to have a God that understood how hard sometimes it can be to trust God. Jesus is touched by the effects of trust in our lives. When someone breaks our trust and our hearts are broken. When a husband betrays a wife or a wife a husband. Someone that you thought was your friend and somebody that you thought was friendly towards you and that trust is breaking. When someone is disloyal, Jesus experienced that. As God, yes. But wait a minute. As man. When we get to thinking that, well, God does not understand what I'm going through. I've been betrayed. Jesus does. God sent Jesus to make sure that God would have a connection with you when someone has broken your trust. You know, I love this. I noticed that Jesus groaned. Listen, John 11:33, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the Spirit." What's a groan? I can tell you what that is. That's that deep hurt. That is that deep hurt where you can't even form words to describe the depth of your pain. God said, "Jesus, I want you to go all the way to the point where deep, deep within you, I want the depth of the hurt that the human race may have to face. Because I want to be there for them when the groan comes." And if you've not been there yet, you young people, you young couples, because I've never been to the point in life where I was speechless. I've never been to the point in my life where I've fallen on my face and could do nothing but weep and groan for the pain. Let me warn you, your day will come. Your day will come. I don't think anybody escapes it. But when you're there and you're groaning, you're empty, and you can't tell anybody how you feel. If you had spiritual eyes, you could glance to your right and you'd see Jesus down there groaning with you, saying, "I got you, buddy. I got your back. I felt that. I was there. I was there with the depth and the pain. I was there." Why? Because my God said,
I don't want you to think someday that I'm so distant that I don't understand you and I don't care. I'm sending my son. We're going to bore a hole through the outer shield, and I want to make sure that you know I've been bored through. I have been touched by the feeling of your infirmities. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. John 11:35. He wept in Gethsemane. Matthew 26:38. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Luke 19:41. Hebrews 5:7 talks about his supplications with strong crying and tears. Let me tell you something. You say, Brother Owens, I've wept until I feel like my tear ducts are going to dry up and my face is chapped. And you say, I don't think anybody understands. Jesus understands. God understands. You say, no. God can't understand. God's up there in heaven where it's all joy. No, but God has sent Jesus down here in the form of a man. And He said, I want to feel what you feel. I want to be with you. I want to be where you were. I want you to know when you need me, I'm there for you. I do understand. He prayed. He withstood death. He had to die as a man. You say, death was easy for Jesus. He was a God-man. Death was probably harder for Jesus. He knew from the moment He was born of His death. And the type of death. The Bible talks about His eternal sufferings. He always knew. He knew. He said, I'm afraid of death, Brother Owens. And I don't think God understands because God always has been. And God always will be. Oh, but my friend, God and the man Christ Jesus was crucified and He died. You know something? If you're not saved here today, can I tell you something? I know someone who was bored through to make your salvation available. See, somebody had to shed perfectly innocent blood to make salvation available to you. They took a hammer like this. They took a spike. And they drove it through the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And they bore through His body. That was God giving Himself sacrifice for your sin. The scripture that prompted the thinking. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Our great, big, powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God said, I don't want you to be intimidated by what I am. I will come to where you are through my Son. I will go through what you have been through because I love you. And when you need me, I'm going to be there. And I want you assured of the fact that when nobody else understands, I've groaned, I've died, I've wept, I've been weary, I've done it. He didn't have to do all that. He wanted to do all that. Couldn't He have done it without that? Probably so. But He knew that you would need Him to do that. So you could reach out and feel like you have a God.